We celebrate this evening the institution of the priesthood. You know, we hear in the gospel about the washing of the feet of the apostles. And the washing of feet was actually a part of the ordination rite of a priest in the Old Testament. And so that symbolism was that Christ was ordaining the apostles as priests. And that's why he says to Peter, "Unless I wash your feet, you will have no inheritance with me." You know, the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe, their inheritance was not land. Their inheritance was with the Lord. And so that language that Jesus is using is language of the priesthood. And when he commanded at the Last Supper, after he consecrated the bread and the wine, and he said, "Do this in memory of me," he was commanding the apostles to continue the priestly sacrifice. So in order to offer the sacrifice of the Mass and fulfill that commandment, the apostles had to be priests. And in addition to the institution of the priesthood, we celebrate the institution of the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper. And the Holy Eucharist is the most precious gift that our Lord gave to his church. And he gave it on the very eve of his passion and death. You know, throughout the Gospels, one of the common themes is that people didn't recognize the divinity of Christ. They didn't know who he was. And that's one of the themes running throughout the Gospels. And that's why, you know, in his public ministry, you know, Jesus says to the apostles, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" The question was, what is his identity? And it was only at the Transfiguration, for a brief moment, that who he truly was and his divinity was revealed. But the rest of his time, it was hidden. And if we look at an account like in the Gospel of John with the man born blind, you know, after Jesus heals him, the Pharisees say, "We don't know where this man comes from. Like, who is this guy? We don't know who he is. We don't know who his identity is." And the man who was healed says, "This is amazing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. You have no idea who he is, yet he's working incredible miracles. Who is he?" And so throughout his public ministry, the identity of our Lord is hidden. And even with the miracles that he worked, it's only the people who responded in faith that could see that this person standing in front of them was actually God himself, God incarnate. And so it's only through an act of faith that people could come to that realization. You know, only with God's grace and people responding to that grace. When we look at the Eucharist, the same thing is true. You know, Jesus Christ is as fully present in the Eucharist as he was when he was walking through the streets of Jerusalem and walking through the region of Galilee 2,000 years ago. But just as his appearance was veiled when he walked on this earth, his appearance is veiled in the Holy Eucharist. And if we think about the Apostle John at the Last Supper, he leaned against the chest of our Lord. John's head was right next to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. His beating heart is present in the Holy Eucharist whenever we come to church. Every time that the Mass is offered and the bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ, his beating heart is present. But just like the people who had to make an act of faith 2,000 years ago, that's the act of faith that we have to make. We have to affirm that we believe that what Jesus Christ said is true. When he said, "This is my body," when he said, "My flesh is true food and my blood is real drink," we have to make that act of faith. Just as our Lord was hidden in his identity when he walked the streets of Jerusalem, he's hidden for us today. You know, we're in the midst of a 3-year Eucharistic revival that the U.S. bishops have called for. And the reason that they've called for this revival is because our shepherds want every Catholic to rediscover the gift of the Eucharist, what this gift truly means for the church. They want us to be able to see what is hidden behind the appearance of bread and wine. And they want us to realize this reality that is so powerful and so incredible that it needs to change the orientation of our lives. Now, the longer I'm a priest, the more I realize, the more clearly I see how little what I do on my own matters by myself. You know, I can't change people's hearts. You know, there might be a lot of people out there that I want to undergo conversions, and I can't make it happen. You know, when I deal with families that may not be putting the faith at the center of their family, I can't change those family dynamics. You know, I can't convert people. But the grace of God can. And so the longer I've become a priest, the more clearly I've realized how important Eucharistic adoration is. That's what changes hearts. It's the outpouring of grace that comes from God. And so I've learned the importance in my years of a priest of seeking his presence in the Eucharist and cherishing the time that I'm able to spend in his presence. You know, that's why I often preach about the Eucharist, is because there's no substitute. There's no way that we can convert hearts and change our families and transform this world unless it starts with the Holy Eucharist. If we stay in the Lord's presence, and if we dwell with him, he will work wonders within us. If we simply spend time with his presence, he'll change us. He'll set our hearts on fire. You know, it's impossible for us to spend time in the presence of the Eucharist with an open heart and not be changed. He's going to refresh us. He's going to transform us. He's going to purify us. And he's going to make us holy. And so I encourage each one of us on this Holy Thursday, when our Lord instituted the Eucharist, to once again rediscover the beauty of the Eucharist, to see what is hidden. This is the presence of the all-powerful God of the universe contained within a single host. And we should cherish the time that we spend in the Lord's presence and allow him to draw us into his own heart. For our servers, you know, I encourage you to honor the time that you can spend as a server. You know, you are serving, when you're in this sanctuary, the God of gods and the King of the universe. You know, when you bring the bread and wine up to the altar, that's the bread and wine that's going to be transformed into God. You know, when you hold a paten out there, you're catching the crumbs that fall from the host so that God does not fall to the ground. What you have the privilege of doing as altar servers is incredible. And what greater honor could there be for a young man than to serve the altar of God? And so I encourage you to serve him well. And for all of our priests, and especially those who might be struggling or facing trials, you know, we pray that they might all rekindle their vocations by centering their lives on the Eucharistic miracle. You know, it's only through centering their lives on the Eucharist that their priestly ordination is going to bear the fruit that the Lord wants them to have. And that's how a priest truly lives as an altar Christus, by first spending time with Christ so they can be transformed to be like Christ, so they can bring Christ into the world.